Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, my job as pastor is to unpack what the Scriptures say. And if I look at what happened in Hebrews and in our gospel message, they're awfully law-heavy, aren't they? Well, last week my sermon was on law because we were talking about discipline. But I thought, all right, I went back and looked at last year's sermon on this text. And I preached on some are last who will be first and some are first who will be last. So I'm not going to do that again. So I got to thinking, what is this trying to say to us? Well, I got to thinking, talking about Christianity, or at least I see that a little bit, because we're talking the discipline of the faith. All right, so my subject today is, what is Christianity? You know, imagine this. You're out there witnessing to somebody. Somebody says, you know, I'm not a Christian. And you ask them, why? Well, I don't know. I've just never been exposed. You know, after all, what's Christianity? What would you say? Faith in things unseen. There's a good one. What else? Being good. Saved by the grace of God. Share. Who are you leaving out? Jesus Christ. Good. Gene gets the gold star. That's right. You know, but here's the thing, folks. Every single one of your statements could be followed up with this. But why? You know, you're trying to talk to your kids, right? But why? Because I said so. Isn't that the way those all usually ended up? But you can't really do that with a new Christian or a new believer. Well, if you notice, whenever we have readings, there's a big theme that goes along. And this year's theme, I think, is dealing with the faith of Christianity, whether it's a discipline or today, what is it? So I think it's good that we look at this and try and understand. All right, so I love the Oxford Dictionary. Christianity is the religion based on the person and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth or its belief and practices. Or Christian quality or character. One of the things we talked about in Bible study this week is the United States a Christian nation? Yeah, it is. It's what we call Judeo-Christian because it's based really on both faiths. Thomas Jefferson, the person who is always accredited with the separation between church and state, never really said that as president. He was a Congregationalist. When he was elected president, the Congregationalist said, it's time for us to have a national church, and it needs to be the Congregational Church. Well, that's one of the reasons we moved from Europe to here, so we could have religious freedom. So establishing a national church isn't going to do anything, is it? But yet, Jefferson believed in the faith. Now, later on, he became a Unitarian. But does that mean that he rejected Jesus? Not at all. He took the Bible. He cut out all of the miracles of the Bible and left all of the teachings about Jesus and how we should live in it. He called it the Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. And what he did that for is he thought that should be the model for the behavior of people who are citizens of the United States. Now, you tell me that that's somebody who's not religious. Okay? Huh? No. Yeah. Because, folks, we look at this, he is a Christian. And so when we look at this, the Christian quality or character. But in answer to our question, what is Christianity, that doesn't really help to how to explain it, does it? It's just clear as mud. Huh. When I was in the Missouri Synod, we started a program on witnessing called Mission U. Actually, it's a pretty good program. 13 Saturdays, 8 hours a day. And what you did is you learned and studied theology so you could witness and answer anybody's questions. It failed miserably. Gee, I wonder why. Well, what did we do? Well, we turned it into law. Okay? Now, you've heard me talk about Pastor Coley. I talked about him last week. You know who his best recruiters are? The people that just join the religion. Why? Because they're excited about Jesus. Do you know what I just did? I just found out about Jesus Christ. And you know what he does for me? Where's the theology in that? There isn't any. Okay? So when we start looking at this, is Christianity theology? Well, yes. I mean, there's something underlines everything we do. But if you're trying to witness to the faith, well, let's see, and this it talks about, that's not going to do anything, is it? That's a great way to do a Bible study, but it is a good way to talk to people about Christianity. John 3:16. You know, everybody quotes that. It's a great verse. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us so that we will have eternal life with him in heaven. Great line. Great passage. Everything is right there, isn't it? Great place to start. You remember the guy with the black gentleman with the wig, the multicolored wig, used to do the pro football games, and he always stood up with the sign, John 3:16. You know, invariably he was on every game that had a national feat. I mean, he used to travel, John 3:16. That was his witness. Well, worked pretty good, didn't it? And they always made sure that they put him on TV. The camera hit him. But after we do this, you know, God so loved the world, the new Christian will look at it and say, but why? What would you say? Well, it was his creation. He loves us. But it's so easy to fall into theology, isn't it? He loves us so much that he wants us with him forever. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, he came and died on the cross for us so that we can be with him in heaven and have eternal life. Of course, if they ask about why again, you've got to come up with something else. But, you know, am I using theology to talk about that? No, I'm talking about Jesus. And that's, I think, a good thing. Our first hymn today, Jesus, Priceless Treasure, Source of Purest Pleasure, Truest Friend to Me. Source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Sometimes the hymns work better for talking to people about the faith than any of our theology. I mean, what we just sang was a beautiful hymn. So, when somebody would ask, but why? Because he's our truest friend. And knowing Jesus is a priceless treasure to our lives. Would that be a good answer? I think so too. All right, now we're up on a good beginning. All right, now we're going to draw up our look at our second hymn. Draw near and take the body of the Lord and drink the holy blood for you outpoured. Pull that up for a second. Let's look at the words in that. Offered was he for greatest and for least, himself the victim, and himself the priest. Draw near and take the body of the Lord and drink the blood, holy blood for you outpoured. Offered was he for greatest and for least, himself the victim and himself the priest. Now, look at this one at the bottom, too. When was this written? 600 A.D. Yeah, I know it's hard. You know, sometimes it's difficult trying to get that up. But when you look at this kind of thing, this isn't new, is it? Okay? One of the things today, the special music, is going to be the Gloria Patri in Latin. Glory to the Father. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning. You know, we do that. Actually, that is from the original Mass that Pope Gregory I put together in 600 AD. He did what was called codified the Mass. So no matter where you go to church, you have the same thing. Luther took it and added it. It was called the Deutsche Mass. It's the first one in German. With that same melody. That melody is from the Gregorian chant that was in the first Mass. So you start looking at this. When we sing things like that, we're singing the same thing that Christians have done, in this case, for 1,400 years. Boy, you think we'd get it right after a time, don't you? But when we look at this kind of stuff, there's a reason why we do it. And I think it's an important reason. Because somebody who walked in here 1,000 years, let's say they died in 1,000 AD, they could walk in here, recognize the melody, and recognize the message of the cross 1,000 years later. Is that important? I think it is too. I think it is too. Because we could have a theology of glory. One of the things we study is called the theology of the cross, the theology of glory. We talked a little bit about this in Bible study this week. What's the difference? Well, what's the center part of our faith? The cross. So what do you think we are, theology of cross or theology of glory? All right. Usually when I talk about the cross, I always refer back to it at least once in all my sermons, don't I? Why? Because that's where the bill's paid, that's our redemption, and that's how we have eternal life. Pretty good reason, isn't it? But as we start getting into that, there's also what we could call theology of glory, where everything is up to you. You can succeed on anything you put your mind to. Peggy calls it rainbows and unicorns. Okay? And there's pastors that talk about that. Joel Osteen. He apologized to his congregation for mentioning Jesus in a sermon one time. How can you be a Christian minister and apologize for mentioning Jesus? I don't know either. But that's a different way of looking at Christianity than I think we look at. Okay? Himself the victim and himself the priest. Could we have put that down as himself the victim and himself the feast? All right, so are we ritualistic cannibals? I was accused of that one time. Well, do you eat the body and blood? Sure do. You cannibal. Okay, sorry you feel that way. Is it still bread and wine? Yeah. Is Jesus with us in that meal? Yes. Okay. So when we start looking at that, it's Jesus comes to us. Now there's three names for that. Lord's Supper, Eucharist, and Communion. Right? Lord's Supper. We know what the Lord's Supper is. Why? Because at the end of Matthew, he said at the Last Supper, you know, do this in remembrance of me. So we do. Eucharist is the real fancy name for it in Greek. What does it mean? To give thanks. So when we go to the Lord's Supper, we're giving thanks. Now, communion. It's referred to as communion in the Roman Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, Orthodox Church, Methodism. I mean, I could go on and just keep on listing them. Well, what does that mean? You know I love dictionaries. All right, so I looked up, there's a thing called a Bible dictionary. And in the King James Version, the word that they pulled communion out of was the word koinonia in Greek. All right, well, koinonia, what does that mean? Well, koinonia means a partnership, a participation, or a social intercourse, fellowship, communion, communication, distribution, contribution, or a way to communicate with God. How broad is that word communion compared to just coming up to the altar for the bread and wine? There's the center of our faith. That's why communion is a sacrament. Okay? What does sacramentum mean in Latin? Look at my Roman Catholics who used to have to study. I know. It means holy. Okay? It means holy. Sanctus, sacrament. Okay. Now, it's translated from the Greek word mysterium. So the other meaning for sacrament is mystery. Why? Can you tell me how God empowers that? Man, I don't know. But does He do it? Yes. It's above our pay grade. You know, how many times have I done that in here? I don't understand how He does it, but I firmly believe that God does that as a gift to us. And I think that's important. Koinonia. I like that. Partnership, participation, social intercourse, fellowship, communion, communication, distribution, or contribution. That's deeper than I think any of us have thought about. Now, does that sound like those words are associated with a dead God or with a living God? Living God. There is an answer to somebody. But why? Because we worship a living God in heaven. Well, that's pretty good. You really can't say, but why? Well, why do we worship, or is He a living God? You know, it's those kind of things. I almost selected for my last hymn today, I Know My Redeemer Lives, What Sweet Comfort the Statement Gives, or Sentence Gives. I didn't, because we are really talking about, in all our readings today, communion. Okay? So, when I looked at that last hymn, I thought, do I go through something that's traditional like the first two? And I thought, no, we've got one that we said that we were going to do. We haven't done it for a while. Our God is an awesome God. And one of our members really likes that. I won't say anything, but she's not here all the time. She only is here every other week. Sits next to Jeff a lot. The truth be known. But when we look at this, is our God an awesome God? His blessings come from heaven above. And the thing I find interesting, it's a Jewish melody. That is what really blows my mind. But that's cool. So let's tie it up. What is Christianity? It's a relationship with a living Savior who talks with us, comes to us, and walks with us in this simple act of giving thanks to Him for coming to us and being a part of our lives. You see where I'm going with this entire sermon today? Yeah. I think there is the center of Christianity. and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I hear. No other has ever known. Okay, we did that. All right. Our time with the living God who loves us, each and every one of us, and he wants what is best for us until it is time for us to come to him in heaven. You know, I don't know how many people when I was at the Veterans Hospital in Cincinnati that I used to sit with at the moment that they went into the next plane of existence. And I call it the next plane of existence because a believer would go with a smile on his face, usually reaching for something. The ones who weren't believers were so scared, and they didn't go with a smile on their face. They didn't see something. But the believers reached out because someone was reaching for them. What a blessing that is. May this relationship with Jesus Christ keep our hearts and minds on the blessings of the communion we have with him, our living God and our living friend. Amen.